from KQED.
We'll do the math for you. 95 means Perlman was born in
1918.
Right at the tail end of a world war. The first one. Perlman says today young people have trouble enough envisioning the second one.
When I say World War II, when was that? That's the kind of reaction I get. Yeah. It's sad because it just means that nobody's teaching history properly.
Perlman got some of his history lessons firsthand. The New York native was a copy boy at the Chronicle 72 years ago when reports came in of an attack on Pearl Harbor. But he admits that his early inspiration to be a journalist came from a screwball comedy. A play about fast-talking, hard-nosed newspaper reporters called The Front Page.
Say, listen, you crazy baboon, get a pencil and paper and take this down and get it straight because it's important.
He can still quote the playwright's description of this cantankerous breed.
Called them seedy, catatonic Paul Revere's, full of strange oaths and a touch of childhood. I wanted to be like that. And as a matter of fact, I got to be like that. I think I got more than a touch of childhood.
Certainly he's retained a sense of childlike wonder, covering the frontiers of science through five decades.
Human evolution, let's say. That's a great topic.
Perlman seems to have mastered the art of evolution himself, negotiating the twisted path from manual typewriters to Twitter. But it was space that launched his career as a science writer in the late 1950s.
The universe, the planets and stars and galaxies and all the nature of the universe into which we are born.
Hobbled by a skiing mishap, he picked up a book called The Nature of the Universe.
And I got kind of curious to know what astronomers do. What's all that about?
That led him to Lick Observatory outside San Jose and the first of his own science writing, an article on the birth of stars.
We didn't have a science writer at the time, so I got to be one. And it's always been a learning experience for me ever since.
That's a bit of an understatement. Perlman has churned out thousands of articles over the years. Not only has he won numerous science journalism awards, there are two named for him. Perlman's life has spanned whole epochs in science, the launch of the space age, the entire unfolding of the computer age, and as the LA Times noted in a recent profile, Pluto's entire life as a planet from its discovery in 1930 to its recent demotion to subplanet. Now he finds himself at the dawn of the Anthropocene, in which this planet feels the strain of the human presence.
Everything that I see in scientific journals or talking to scientists, I have to say that climate change, global warming, whatever you call it, is real and dangerous and is going to deprive us of our sources of what we eat.
How times have changed.
Listen, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
He remembers the Apollo days when science-driven optimism infected the whole nation.
Columbia on high gate, over.
Roger, the EVA is progressing beautifully. They're setting up the flag now.
And I do remember those days, and they were gripping. Everybody got excited about it.
It disturbs him that some of that excitement has waned as we've passed into a new era of scientific pragmatism. As we spoke, budget cuts threatened to close Lick Observatory, the birthplace of Perlman's own science career.
It is kind of absurd. I mean, there's a new telescope that has just been installed or developed at Lick Observatory, and it's looking for planets out in, far out in the Milky Way galaxy. And I think it's an extremely important telescope, and why they would close the observatory just as they got a new telescope, it defeats me.
Recently, Perlman's been following closely the adventures of a remote-controlled rover called Curiosity, which recently found a spot on Mars where conditions once could have nurtured life.
That's a great discovery.
He thinks it might be a step toward the ultimate discovery.
And sooner or later, on that planet or elsewhere, somebody's going to discover some microorganisms, microbes, that actually are alive. Just think of that. That turns me on. I hope it turns other people on.
He'd like to be around to write that story.
Oh, yeah. I would love it.
As he navigates the Chronicle City Room from his corner cubicle, which itself resembles an archaeological dig, David Perlman has only one job complaint. It's too quiet. Reared on the incessant clacking of typewriters and teletypes, he says the silence drives him nuts. So he returns to his cube and fills the silence with his signature two-fingered typing. He has no plans to stop. I'm Craig Miller, KQED News.
Support for KQED science and environment coverage is provided by the Videz Family Foundation, the Wincote Foundation, and the Amgen Foundation.